Welcome back. You are listening to Implement and Manage Storage, the Storage Administration and Architecture track for the Azure Administrator Certification, also known as AZ-104. This is episode 7 of 13, and it is called Microsoft Entra ID, Role-Based Access Control, and Anonymous Access. In the last episode, episode 6, we walked through the first two ways to authorize a request to your storage account. We had Shared Key, which uses the powerful account keys, and we had the Shared Access Signature, or SAS, a signed token with limited scope. Both share one uncomfortable property. They depend on a secret, something that has to be stored, rotated on a schedule, and protected from leaking. Today we meet the third way, the recommended way, the one with no secret in your code at all. The third way is Microsoft Entra ID. Entra is Microsoft's cloud identity service, and it is the recommended method for authorizing requests to your blob, queue, and table data. Here is why people love it. There is no secret living in your code. Identities are managed centrally in one place. Access is granted through Azure Role-Based Access Control, which we say is Azure RBAC, where RBAC stands for Role-Based Access Control. And you get full auditing of who did what. Now, here is the mental model for how Entra authorization actually works. It is a two-step dance. Step 1 is authenticate, a security principle, which is just a fancy name for a user, an application, or a managed identity, proves who it is to Microsoft Entra ID. In return, Entra hands back a short-lived access token. That token follows the OAuth 2.0 standard, which you can think of as the industry standard way of handing out temporary digital passes. Step 2 is authorize. The principle sends that token along with each request to the storage service. The service inspects the token, asks whether this principle holds an RBAC role that grants the requested operation of the relevant scope, and then either allows the request or denies it. If it denies, you will often see an error called authorization permission mismatch. Tuck that error name away, because we will come back to it. A few hard facts to memorize about Entra support. It works on all general purpose version 2 accounts and on blob storage accounts, in every public region and in the national clouds. It only works on accounts that use the Azure Resource Manager deployment model, which we say is ARM. The old classic deployment model does not support Entra authorization. In your code, you acquire the token using the Azure Identity Client library, and the simple, recommended starting point is a class called Default Azure Credential. The beauty of it is that the same code runs locally on your laptop and up in Azure without changes. There is also a more advanced library called MSAL, the Microsoft Authentication Library, for advanced scenarios. And here is the cleanest option of all. If your app runs inside an Azure resource, like a virtual machine, a scale set, or a function, use a managed identity. With a managed identity, there is literally no credential in your app at all. Azure handles it for you. One quick aside, Azure files data over the SMB protocol does not use this token model. It uses identity-based authentication over Kerberos instead, and we will cover that in episode 9. Now, here is the single most important idea in this whole episode, the one that shows up on the exam more than any other. Azure has two planes, and a role on one plane does not automatically give you the other. Picture two separate worlds. The first world is the management plane, sometimes called the control plane. This world is about the storage account as a resource. Creating it, deleting it, configuring its networking, reading its keys. The classic roles here are owner, contributor, storage account contributor, and reader. The second world is the data plane. This world is about the actual data sitting inside the account. Reading, writing, and deleting blobs, queue messages, and table entities. The roles here have the word data right in the names. Storage blob data owner, storage blob data contributor, storage blob data reader, and parallel families for queues and files. So here is the trap, and please carry this one with you. If you hold the owner role or the contributor role on an account, you can manage that account all day long, but you do not get access to the blob, queue, or table data through Microsoft Entra ID. Let me say that again because it is so commonly missed. Owner is not the same as data owner. Only roles explicitly defined for data access let a principal touch the data through Entra. A developer who is given contributor and then is shocked that their app, using default Azure credential, cannot read a single blob, has fallen into exactly this trap. The fix is to assign them a data role, like storage blob data reader or storage blob data contributor. There is one more subtle wrinkle. Owner, contributor, and storage account contributor all carry a permission called list keys. And whoever can list the keys can fetch the account keys, then turn around and reach the data using shared key. That is a backdoor that quietly bypasses all your careful data plane RBAC. Remember that backdoor, because it explains two things we will discuss in a moment. So let us look at the built-in data roles you should know cold. The blob trio is the star of the show. Here is a simple mnemonic. Think R, C, O reader, contributor, owner. Storage Blob Data Reader lets you read blobs and containers, perfect for read-only consumers and reporting. Storage Blob Data Contributor lets you read, write, and delete blob data, perfect for apps and users that manage objects. And Storage Blob Data Owner gives full data access plus the ability to manage POSIX access control lists for Azure Data Lake storage. So R, C, O is read, then read, write, delete, then add the access control lists at the top. There is also a fourth one called Storage Blob Delegator, which lets you get a user delegation key to sign an Entra-backed SAS, which we touched on last episode. The queue and table services have their own parallel families, with the same reader and contributor pattern, plus extras for queues like message processor and message sender. Files has its own SMB share roles, which again wait for episode 9. And if the built-in roles are not granular enough, you can build custom roles or refine things further with Azure Attribute-Based Access Control, Azure ABAC, which lets you add conditions to a role assignment, for instance only blobs carrying a certain tag. Now let us talk about scope, because a role assignment is really three things bolted together. Who, what, and where? Who is the security principal, a user, a group, an application service principal, or a managed identity? What is the role, and where is the scope? Here is the key idea about scope. Scope is inherited downward. Picture a tree. At the very top sits the management group. Below it, a subscription. Below that, a resource group. Below that, the storage account. And at the bottom, the individual container, queue, or table. A role you set high up flows down and applies to everything beneath it. So a data role granted at the subscription level touches every account and all its data in that subscription. Granted at the account level, it covers every container in that account. Granted write at a single container, it covers just that one container. The golden rule, and you have heard this everywhere in security, is least privilege. Always grant the narrowest scope that still gets the job done. The container is the narrowest and most preferred level for blob data. One thing that surprises people, when you create a brand new storage account, you get no data permissions automatically. You have to explicitly assign yourself a data role. Creation does not equal access. To assign a role in the portal, you open the storage account, or even a single container, then go to Access Control, which is labeled IAM for Identity and Access Management, then choose Add, then Add Role Assignment, pick a data role like Storage Blob Data Contributor, select the member, and finish with Review and Assign. To do this, you yourself need a role that can write role assignments, like Owner or User Access Administrator, at that scope or higher. From the command line, you would use the AZ role assignment create command, setting the role, the assignee, and crucially the scope, which for least privilege you would point all the way down to a single container. When you assign to a managed identity or service principal, you would supply its object ID and tell the command the principal type, which avoids ambiguity. There is an equivalent in Azure PowerShell using the new AZ role assignment command. Now here is an exam favorite that trips up so many people. Propagation delay. Role changes are not instant. They can take up to roughly 10 minutes to take effect, and in the worst case the documentation cites up to 30 minutes. So if you just made a change, give it time before you start troubleshooting. And here is the extreme case. At the management group scope, data action permissions can rarely take up to 12 hours to propagate. Because of that, do not use management group scope for time-sensitive grants or revokes, like privileged identity management, which we call PIM. So when you set the right permissions but still hit that authorization permission mismatch error, your first move is simply to wait for replication. If waiting does not fix it, look for a deny assignment or a read-only resource lock. A read-only lock will actually block new role assignments scoped to that account or container. Now, remember that list keys backdoor. The hardening step that closes it is to disable shared key authorization on the account. You would run the AZ storage account update command and set allow shared key access to false. Once you do that, every request to blob, queue, table, and files must use Microsoft Entra ID. Even SAS signed with the account key stops working. The one exception is a user delegation SAS, which still works because it is backed by Entra rather than the account key. Big warning before you flip this switch. Confirm that nothing depends on keys or key-based SAS, and make sure your principals already hold the right data roles. Otherwise, you will lock everyone out, including yourself. Here is a related piece of portal behavior worth knowing. When you browse data in the Azure portal, the portal decides the auth method for you. If your role includes that list key's permission, the portal quietly uses the account key, that is shared key. If it does not, the portal falls back to your Microsoft Entra account. And to browse data with your Entra identity in the portal, you actually need two things together. First, a data role, like Storage Blob Data Reader or Contributor. And second, the Management Plane Reader role, or higher, scope to the account, so that you can even navigate to the account in the portal tree. The data role gives you the data, but not the ability to see the account resource itself. You need both. Let us shift to the last big topic, anonymous public read access. This is separate from everything we just discussed. Blogs can optionally be served to anyone at all, with no credential whatsoever. That is handy for a public website or public assets, but it is a genuine security risk and the source of many real-world data leaks. Anonymous access is controlled at two levels, and both must allow it before any public read can happen. Think of it as two gates, and both must be open. The first gate is the account-level master switch, called Allow Blob Public Access, set to either true or false. If it is false, no container in that account can ever be public, no matter what the container says. Account false wins, full stop. The second gate is the container public access level, which has three settings. Private, which is the default, means all access requires authorization. Blob level means anonymous readers can read individual blobs if they already know the URL, but they cannot list the contents of the container. And container level means anonymous readers can both read every blob and list everything in the container. The defaults and the guidance are clear. By default, anonymous access is never permitted. Every request must be authorized unless you explicitly opt in. Microsoft recommends disabling anonymous access on all your accounts, and the safe posture is to keep that account master switch set to false. Setting the account switch to false is the organization-wide remediation because it immediately overrides every per container setting in one move. You would do this with the AZ Storage Account Update command, setting allow blob public access to false. But what if you genuinely need public content? Then isolate it. Put those public containers in a dedicated storage account reserved for anonymous access, and keep the master switch false everywhere else. And to enforce that at scale across your whole organization, you would use Azure policy to deny the creation of any account where public access is enabled. That gives you two complementary controls, both relying on the same allow blob public access property. The account switch for any given account, and Azure policy to guarantee it across every account. So, the things to carry with you on your walk are these. Entra means no secret in your code, and it works in two steps: authenticate to get an OAuth 2.0 token, then authorize through RBAC user-managed identity inside Azure, and default Azure credential in your code. Remember that owner is not data owner. Management roles manage the account but grant no data access through Entra. You need a storage data role. Remember R, C, O for the blob trio. Reader, then contributor with read, write, delete, then owner adding access control lists. Scope inherits downward, so grant the narrowest. Wait about 10 minutes for role propagation, longer at management group scope, and treat authorization permission mismatch as usually meaning just wait, then check deny assignments and locks. List keys is the back door, so disable shared key to force Entra. And anonymous access is two gates, the account master switch and the container level, where account false always wins. In our next episode, episode 8, we move from who can access your data to where requests are allowed to come from, as we explore network security, firewalls, virtual networks, and private endpoints. I will see you on your next walk.